God, we thank you for this psalm and your word, that as we go into your word, that you would give us the spirit of wisdom, knowledge, understanding, might, counsel, the fear of the Lord, the anointing of God, a keen discernment, the tongue of the learned, activation, gifts, Holy Spirit. We just thank you right now just for just the powerful truths of your word, just making us better followers, better disciples for you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. So on this week, I couldn't stop thinking about what happened on last Sunday and just how just the powerful presence of the Lord was just manifest in our midst. And the Lord just prompted me to talk about something just to make sure, you know, we have more participators when he shows up, when we get excited about him. And I thought about when I was a child and how just about every Sunday, the church would recite Psalm 100. And so I wanted to just revisit that, because here's the thing that we have to understand about praise. Because a lot of times we're looking just to like go in, right? But then we forget that there's a path, and praise starts that path. And so Psalm 100, and this is coming out of the Christian Standard Bible. Growing up, we recited it out of the King James Bible, but there's a lot of, you know. But the Psalm 100 says, "Let the whole earth shout triumphantly to the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his. His people, the sheep of his pasture, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good, and his faithful love endures forever, his faithfulness through all generations." And so today, we're talking about praise, the ascent into God's presence. And so when we talk about praise, You notice here it says, "Let the whole earth shout triumphantly to the Lord." Praise is not something you do quietly. You got to make some noise. So God likes noise in church. See, I know there are some environments where, you know, it's very hushed, very, you know, muted. But when it comes to God, because you got to understand, this psalm is a psalm of thanksgiving that was written during a time, they call it the post-exilic or the second temple times. And so they're happy to be home. And so if you're happy to be home after a long time, and I think I told y'all this, during the winter we had a pipe burst in our house, and so we had to be in a hotel for like 4 months. And so when we came home in our own bed, I want to let you know I was happy to be home. So imagine being away from home for a very long time. And now you get to go back. You get to go back home. You get to go back to worship. You get to go back to the temple after so long, 70 years away from the temple. And now you get to go back. And so the psalmist here, this is not David, but a psalmist, he writes, "Let the whole earth shout triumphantly to the Lord." Get your hearts ready. Because we're shouting triumphantly for the Lord. Because it's because of him that we're back home. And so we need to realize that that's important. And so, again, going back to context, there were three times a year. There were three times a year that the pilgrims in ancient Israel would fill the roads. All right? And they would fill the roads from the north to the south. And here's the thing. They would go to Jerusalem. And so just in case you don't realize it, Jerusalem is 2,500 feet above sea level. So no matter what direction you're going in, you're going up. I don't know if I got this yet. So it's 2,500 feet above sea level. So no matter what path you're coming from, you're going to go up. And so no matter what you've been through throughout the week, when you praise the Lord, you're going up. You forget about your cares, you forget about your worries, you forget about anything that's stressing you out. Why? Because your mind is focused and centered on the Lord. It's centered on the Lord. That's why they didn't say, well, after I get done with it. No, they said, let the whole earth shout. Let the whole earth shout. I don't care what you think you believe in. I don't care if you think you don't believe in God. But let the whole earth shout. This is a command. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serving God is not sad. It's not boring. It's a happy activity to serve the Lord. And see, what we've been really focusing on these last few weeks is about the joy of the Lord, the gladness of the Lord. Why? Because church should not be a humdrum place. It should not be a humdrum place. I think about back in 1900, they had the Azusa Street Revival. And so during the time of the Azusa Street Revival, they called the fire department to the church because they thought the building was on fire. They just saw light coming from this place, and they're thinking the building is on fire. The church should be a beacon of hope and light and joy to the neighborhood, to the city, to the nation. So church is not a boring place. And so as they're going, and I think about this, right? Like when I'm doing stuff around the house, right? You know, you shoveling snow in the wintertime, you getting leaves in the fall, you know, you bringing stuff up from the basement and all this stuff. I want to tell you, I don't want to do none of that. I don't want to do none of that. As a matter of fact, one time when we had about a foot of snow, I'm shoveling the snow out of my driveway, and I'm like, how come the brothers won't call and say, Pastor Steve, we'll come to your house and shovel you out? I'm not telling y'all to do that, okay? Because here's the thing. I found out that I can have joy shoveling snow. And when I start to sing in my heart and then start to sing out my mouth, songs of joy, songs of praise that the Lord just brings to my mind, all of a sudden that labor and the weight that I'm dealing with doesn't seem so heavy. And so as they're traveling up this road, because you're going 2,500 feet above sea level again, how many of y'all had tried to, you know, you got the resolution that I'm going to do much better with my health, so I'm going to go walking at least 30 minutes every day? Anybody here live in a place where you got hills? All of a sudden, your resolution turns into, why did I open my big mouth? Because you start to see, if you have not worked your body, worked those muscles, right? Walking, even if you try to walk a couple of blocks, you start huffing and puffing. And so what these people did as they're going to worship, they're going up to worship, what they're doing is they're starting to sing songs because the travel doesn't seem as burdensome if I sing a song. When you're on a road trip, what is the first thing you know you gotta have? A playlist. Why? Because if you're going 2 hours, 3 hours, and you got Ethan and Ellie in back, and see, when Ellie was Ethan's age, and she, you know, started talking, and any trip over an hour, out of the back seat, what you would hear from Ellie is, I got to throw up. So I need some music to drown that out. With Ethan now, even on the way to church, all he says is, wah, wah. I'm trying to memorize my notes, memorize my points and all that. And in the back seat, I got, so guess what I got to have on my way to church? A playlist. And I'll be cranking that all the way up. And so the journeys that we take when we start to sing, and scripture says, that he says, what? Sing in your heart, make music in your heart, make psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making music in your heart to the Lord. Why? Because a merry heart is good like medicine. But a broken spirit dries the bones. So if you're dealing with a health challenge right now, I encourage you to get happy. Start to sing. Start to make music in your hearts. So even if you can't hold a note, sing along with the track. Because all of a sudden what you'll start to feel is you'll start to feel lighter. You won't feel the pain. Your mind is taken off of the pain. And so they as they traveled a long road up to Jerusalem, they have songs. And so just in case you didn't know, Psalm 120 to Psalm 134 are called the Psalms of Ascent. And so these songs were some of the songs that the pilgrims sang as they were going up to worship. Psalm 120. And I'm currently reading a book called A Long Obedience in the Same Direction by Eugene Peterson. And in his book, he's focusing on those 15 Psalms. And he's talking about how discipleship is a process that we get to go on. It's not instantaneous. Because he says that there are two categories. There are pilgrims and then there's disciples. Disciples are lifelong learners. So you never figure it all out. I don't care if you've been in church 30, 40, 50, 60 years, you don't have it all figured out yet. As a matter of fact, the level of faith you had that may have healed your headache, you're going to have to learn that there's another level of faith that you need to cause a tumor to dissolve. Same God, it's just I have to press my faith and work my faith out. Come on, because some of our faith, we trying to do creative miracles without really believing for creative miracles. If you want to, God. But see, creative miracles steps into from that permission, if you want to, you already said. And so the pilgrim's heart and the disciple's heart are faith-filled and always looking for greater heights in God. And so we need to understand that praise is not merely something that we do once we arrive in God's presence. Praise is the road that gets you there. It is the ascent. See, you always know somebody that hasn't praised God throughout the week from the person that's praising God every day. Because when they come into church, they looking around like, what do I do now? Not none of y'all, but I've seen people, right? They don't read the psalm. They have no vocabulary for praise. They just, but see, it is something that we continuously practice. Those people, they didn't start singing once they got to the door frame of the gates. They didn't start singing then. They were singing when they were still back at home. And they started their journey on. And so we need to learn how to have praise as a lifestyle. Praise needs to become a lifestyle. That means, I don't care if you're not on a praise and worship team, if you don't got Brother Larry with you playing organ or keyboard, you need to learn how to be your own praise team. So that when you do come here and the praise team is up there and Brother Larry is on the keys, you like, this is what I've been doing all week long. Come on, come on. And the praise team is not trying to, you know, come on, let's praise the Lord. They ain't got to tell you. Because it's your natural response. But see, when it's something that is merely an activity that you do in church, then you'll know when it's not natural. Remember the psalm where it says, I believe it's Psalm 150, where he says, what? Let everything that has, what? Breath, praise the Lord. So praise ought to be something that you do naturally because the Lord is who he is. We waiting for God to do something, but we need to praise him for who he is. And so with the heart that understands praise, you will understand that I don't have to feel praise to start praising. Let me say that again. I don't have to feel praise to start praising. See, we have a culture that has made it seem like, growing up, what they call it, you catch the Holy Ghost. And when you catch the Holy Ghost, most of the time, all you're doing is dancing. So they're locking praise into a feeling. You got to feel the goosebumps. You got to have that feeling, right? No, because do you think these people wanted to walk up 2,500 feet above sea level? That's singing a song when they were at home and didn't feel like it, knowing they had a long journey ahead of them. By the time they got there, they were already in that atmosphere. And so start climbing before you feel like climbing. Start praising before you feel like praising. Jesus said that if you don't praise, he says he's able to make the rocks cry out. Do you want a rock to praise in your place? And so, don't wait for a feeling to come before you start singing, before you start shouting, before you start lifting your voice. Don't wait. As a matter of fact, let's look at Psalm 122, verse 1. Psalm 122, verse 1. What does it say? It says, I rejoiced with those who said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. When did I start rejoicing? When they said it. So we need to understand that we rejoice at the invitation, not when we get there. He said, the psalm says, what? I rejoice when they said. So again, this Psalm 122 is part of that psalm of ascent, right? And so this is one of the pilgrims saying, I was glad when they said, that's what the King James, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So as soon as I got the invitation, I said, you know what? Let's go. You what? Because I'm not going to let a feeling keep me from praising. Because I will tell you right now, Pastor Steve is one who will just tell you like it is. So I will tell you right now, there will be a lot of times, probably 95.555% of the time, you won't feel like praising God. There'll be 95.55% of the time, you won't feel like getting up and going to church. It's too hot, it's too cold, it's too rainy, it's too snowy. My stomach hurting, my head hurting, my leg hurting. You'll always find a reason why you can't come. So there'll always be times and you'll always have reasons why you don't feel like coming. But this person singing this psalm is saying the moment they suggested the idea, hey, let's go. Let's go to the tabernacle. Let's go to the temple. Let's go to worship. I said, you know what? Things going to get better when I get in his presence. So let me just start rejoicing right now because it's about to get lighter. See, my grandfather, when he would preach, and you know, they would have, and last week my wife was making fun of me talking about I got Baptist-y at a point. And so she said, and my mother said, you know what, you reminded me of your grandfather when you did that. And so my grandfather, when he would be in one of those moments, like those happy moments with the presence of the Lord, he would say to the people that may be sitting down, he said, if you don't feel like it right now, then I want you to just leap. And then all of a sudden, I remember seeing some people get up and just leap and then go to running. Because see, all was waiting for was just an action of faith. An action of faith. I didn't feel like it, but the moment I leaped into that stream, and I got carried along with the stream. See, I saw a video, because, you know, yesterday we had a lot of rain. And so I saw a video of somewhere in the city where somebody was getting off the train, off the bus. And so as they were getting off the bus on a curb, the bus couldn't pull so close because all the water was rushing, right? And so as this person stepped out the bus, all of a sudden the water carried them along. So what the Lord wants you to know is that you're in a stream. the scripture says there's a river. The streams thereof make glad. And so all you need to do is just step your foot out and the rush of the water will sweep you along. And so we need to understand that we have to rejoice at the invitation, not just when we get there. Joy began at the moment we decide to go up. And so We need to think about that. Next time you don't feel like praising God, you may have woken up and you just, you know, you had 10 cups of coffee and still don't feel your wake up yet. What I want you to do is just do something by faith. Just sing by faith. Sing that song you heard them sing this morning by faith. I want you to just start raising your hands by faith. I want you to just shout by faith. And watch God carry you along in that stream. And so there's a vocabulary with praise. And so these are just some terms. They're not comprehensive. And so some of the terms, like there's one, yada. Yada, which means to praise with lifted hands. I don't know where I went. I went in the dark. But yada means to praise with lifted hands. So you may not have known what you're supposed to do, but you can just start with just raising your hands. Praising by raising your hands. Then you have Barak, to bless, to kneel in reverence. Then you have Zamar, to make music, to touch the strings. Then you have Shabak. So what you saw me do a lot of on last Sunday was a Shabak. So I shout, I praise highly with a loud voice. All right? And then you have halal. That is the word where we get that hallelujah from the word halal, which means to celebrate, to boast, to be gloriously undignified. Where do you remember that word undignified from? See, David, the ark had come back into Jerusalem, right? And so David was leading the parade. And his wife said, you the king. You ain't supposed to be dancing like the regular people. You ain't supposed to be acting a fool, acting like you drunk like the regular people. You're supposed to be all proper. He said, I'm happy because the ark is back. The visible presence of God is back home where we are. And as long as God's presence is with us, we're going to be all right. And so I'm going to celebrate God. I'm going to get undignified before God. I'm going to let him know I'm happy to see him. And so it's okay. It's okay if you look like a fool. All right. Here's where we go. So we got to move from thanksgiving to praise, from what he's done to who he is. And so we need to understand this, because I really want to go somewhere. Because, okay, All right, let's look at Psalm 22. Psalm 22, verse 3. Psalm 22, verse 3. And the reason why I like to turn to these scriptures, even though they're on the screen, is because I want you to know I'm in a book. All right? So Psalm 22, verse 3 says what? But you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Then go to verse 4. Verse 4 says what? It says, come on. All right. So I guess we got no verse 4 up there. So verse 4 says, our fathers trusted in you. They trusted, and what did you do? You rescued them. And so what we need to understand about that word is that the word enthroned, all right, means to sit down, to dwell, to remain, to be enthroned as a king takes his seat. And so what happens when you praise God is you are building a throne for God, and God is taking a seat in the midst of you. So again, it may look like you're a fool to everybody else because you're praising God and just looking undignified, but what you are in reality doing in the spirit is you are building a throne for God and letting God know you're welcome here. As a matter of fact, get comfortable, God. I want you to rest yourself here. All right? And so what happened? It says, as a result of them building the throne for you, it says, our fathers trusted in you. Why? Because, see, he may not have done nothing yet, but because of who he is, we praise him. We praise him in advance, even though he hasn't healed us yet. We praise him in advance because we know he is a healer. Even though we got the shutoff notice, we still praise him. Why? Because he is a provider. We praise him because of who he is, not just because of what he's done. And so as we praise him, that communicates to him that we trust you. In a world where trust is so hard to earn, especially, come on, as a pastor, I see the stats, I see the articles, I see the post. Trust is so hard to earn. But see, because they trust in him, it says what? They trusted and he came through. He rescued them. So God needs you to show again that you believe him, that you trust him, that you are convinced that he is who he says he is, who the Bible says he is. And he needs you to build that throne. Build that throne. And so here's the thing. God takes a seat. He establishes his royal rule upon the thanksgiving, the praises of his people. When you praise, you are not just making noise, you are building a throne. And wherever God is enthroned, God reigns. Wherever God is enthroned, God reigns. So I got a question for you. In your house, who reigns? Because as men, Minister Larry, you know, what do you say? This is our castle. But what we're saying is that in our castle, we're giving up our throne to God. So who reigns in your house? Who reigns in your life? Who reigns on your job? Who reigns? And so a lot of times, worship is going to be warfare. Because it ain't always easy to... I mean, you get just to get through the week, right? Sometimes worship is warfare. And praise is one of those weapons. Let's look at 2 Chronicles 20. 2 Chronicles 20. And we're going to look at let's go from verse 18 to 22. And it says, then Jehoshaphat knelt low with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord to worship him. Then the Levites from the sons of the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord of Israel quietly. No, shouting loudly. In the morning, they got up early and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. As they were about to go out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed. Then he consulted with the people and appointed some to sing for the Lord and some to praise the splendor of his holiness. When they went out in front of the armed forces, they kept singing, give thanks to the Lord, for his faithful love endures forever. The moment they began their shouts and praises, what happened? The Lord set an ambush against the Ammonites, Moabites, and the inhabitants of Mount Seir, who came to fight against Judah, and they were, what, defeated. The Ammonites and Moabites turned against the inhabitants of Mount Seir and completely annihilated them. And when they had finished with the inhabitants of Seir, they helped destroy each other. What? Oh boy. And I'm going to go into verse 24. When Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked for the large army, but there were only corpses lying on the ground. Nobody had escaped. And so when you learn to use praise as your weapon while you're going through, while you're feeling pain, while you're in distress, what happens? The Lord will set ambushments against the enemy, and the enemy will destroy themselves. And what will happen? They will not be able to escape what God is doing. And so God wants you to express confidence in him. He wants you to make some noise when you feel like crying. He wants you to shout his praises. He wants you to honor him. He wants you to tell him that you know he can come through for you. He wants you to believe his word when he speaks his word. He wants you to praise him in advance, even though it looks like failure. He wants you to praise him until success comes. He wants you to praise him until provision comes. He wants you to praise him until healing comes. Yes, you're still taking your medication, but I'm praising God that one day I won't have to take this medication. I'm praising God that one day I'm going to look up and my diagnosis will be clear, that my prognosis will be positive, that God will show that I am a sign and a wonder for those that don't believe. And as a result, the people that don't believe will come to Christ because they've seen him move in my life. They know what I've been through. They know the testimony. They know how hard it was for me. But they see how good God is. This is a case study. How we react to pressure, how we react to stress. How do you react? Do you freak out? Because I'm pretty sure Judah wanted to freak out. But what did they do? They started a praise and worship night. And then, instead of the army going first, they put the praisers in front. And when they got there, they didn't even have to lift a finger. See, you trying to figure it out, but God's already worked it out. I say that again. You trying to figure it out, but God has already worked it out. And so what you need to do now is you need to praise him. You need to worship him. You need to have the biggest party you can and get lit for the Lord and let him know you trust him. Because again, there will be many days where you won't feel the glory. You won't feel the goosebumps you felt on Sunday. But see, the old saints came up with a saying. They said, when I think, They had that song, "When I Think of the Goodness of Jesus and All He's Done for Me." He may not be doing anything in the present yet. But see, praise is pulling me towards my future. See, yeah, he gave you a breakthrough 2 years ago. Think about his resume, but then praise him for what he's about to do. See, a lot of times we're not thinking about what he's done. We're thinking about how people count us out in the present. We're thinking about how nobody's there to support us when we've been there to support everybody else. We're thinking about how nobody wants to help shovel the snow in your driveway when you shoveled other people's snow in their driveway. But what we need to do is we need to set our mind future focus. But see, our praise creates the framework for the future God desires. And so by faith, I'm pulling myself towards that future as I praise God. I'm saying God said that by his stripes, I've been healed. So God, I thank you for my healing. I thank you that Jesus took my diabetes. Jesus took my high blood pressure. Jesus took the cancer. Jesus took the arthritis. By his stripes, each of those stripes has a name. And by his stripes, I've been healed. Yeah, COVID may not have been named yet in history, but he still took his stripes for that. Ebola may not have been named yet in history, but he still took stripes for that. By his stripes, I've been healed from AIDS. By his stripes, I've been healed. I'm pulling myself, and I'm thanking him that by his stripes, I'm saying, God, thank you. Thank you for healing me. It may not have manifested yet in the present, but I still thank you for healing me. And so we need to understand that our praise builds a throne for God. And when God takes his throne over our battlefield, no enemy can stand where God is seated. So we need to praise before our breakthrough, not just after it. See, a lot of people are waiting. You know what? I'll praise God when I got a praise report for Sunday. I'll praise God when I get that good news email. I'll praise God when my back stop hurting. I'll praise God when my kids start acting right. I'll praise God when the conditions are perfect. But see, we got to praise him and let our praise go before. Because a lot of times we the army, you know, we ready to fight everybody, ready to curse everybody out, ready to, you know what? I wish you would, you know. How about we replace that aggression with some praise? Because, see, a lot of times we're directing our focus to the wrong direction. We're always focused this way. We need to focus this way. Because, see, that's the thing about praise, is that whenever you're praising God, you're always looking up. When the pilgrims were going those three times a year, where were they going? Were they going this way? No, they were going up. They may have been in the valley, but they knew their valley time was coming to an end. So that's why I said a few months ago, don't camp in that valley. Stop getting comfortable in failure. Stop getting comfortable in trial. Stop getting comfortable where problems are. And realize that your place is supposed to be up. So I need to set my focus up. I need to let everything else know you're beneath my feet. In Genesis, he said that the descendant of the woman would crush the serpent's head. In order to crush a serpent's head, the serpent has to be where? Under your feet. So where is the enemy? Under your feet. You got to remind him sometimes, because sometimes he like, you forgot. So I'm going to take advantage while you forgot. So I'm going to look you square in the eye, and I'm going to cause trouble in your face. You got to remind him, you are under my feet. And then here's what you got to do, because anybody not scared of ants, all right? Anybody not scared of ants? When you see an ant on the ground, what do? Oh, do you do? Because you know a lot of people are doing that. They're blood bought just like you. They're part of the heirs with Christ just like you. But see, instead of letting the enemy know he's under their feet, a lot of people are jumping in chairs. Saying, Minister Larry, get that. They're relying on your faith. Saying, yeah, why don't you pray for me? Send a prayer up. They're relying on you. You need to start empowering some people. Let them know, you got just as much authority as I got. You got just as much faith as I got. You got just as much power as I got. Start using it and remind the devil where he belongs. And so, even though you got a battle in front of you, send worship ahead of the war. Build a throne with your mouth in every room where the enemy thinks he has you cornered. And so lastly, what we want to look at is this, because one thing I've been hinting at is Hebrews 13, 15. Let's look at Hebrews 13, 15. What does it say? It says, therefore, through him, talking about Jesus, let us continually offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, that is the fruit of the lips that confess his name. And so here, where it talks about a sacrifice of praise, it's talking about an offering laid on the altar. And so with this, it's talking about an offering laid on the altar and to offer praises up to God. And so that's why it puts it together, because it's two Greek words, thusion and yesios, which means offering laid on an altar and praise offered to God. So sacrifice of praise. And so the thing about a sacrifice is that sacrifices cost you something. Think about in Genesis. In Genesis, the sacrifice, even when Abraham was about to sacrifice his son, that was about to cost him something. Whenever they went up to the temple, their offerings that they brought, their sacrifices, it cost them something. Sometimes, I'm pretty sure, they said, we can eat this later for dinner, because I'm hungry. Maybe they looked and said, you know what? I can build a nice coat out of that wool. So let me keep that sheep here. It'll make me money. But because they realized that they needed to offer sacrifice to God, they had to present it anyway. And so what we need to understand about it is this, that there's a praise sometimes that's easy, right? When everything's going good, you had the best week in the world. You know, for me to talk about praise is easy for you. You know what? Amen, Pastor Steve. Amen. Hallelujah. But then there's a praise that bleeds. There's a praise that overflows on a mountaintop. There's a praise that you have to drag out of your chest in the valley. And so the offer up. Let's offer up the sacrifice. Think about in Acts 16:25. Let's look at Acts 16:25. It says what? About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Where was Paul and Silas? They were in prison. They were in prison. They were not sitting at somebody's table about to have dinner. They were not in a comfy bed in a tent somewhere. They were in prison. But even in prison, they were singing hymns, singing praises to God. Even though their backs may have been shredded by being beat by the Romans, their feet locked in stocks, midnight in a Philippian dungeon, they sang. They sang, and they offered up the sacrifice of praise. The conditions were not perfect. Where were they again? In prison. But they're singing praises to God. They're singing praises to God. And praise shifts your focus from your problem to God's promise. And so they're singing praises to God. And then in verse 26 says what? Suddenly there was a violent earthquake. The foundations of the jail were shaken. Immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains came loose. And so their prayers, they praised rather, ascended. And then God's power descended. And the prison couldn't hold what praise had unlocked. So the next time you find yourself in a prison situation, let your praise go up and God's power will come down. Come on. Let your praise what? Go up and your and God's power what? Come down. The way Jesus phrased it was this when he teaches disciples to pray. He said what? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why? Because thy kingdom comes as I build you a throne with my praise. Thy will be done as I really surrender my life and say, here you go, God. We got to stop the battle of agendas. You got God's will, and then you got our will, and a lot of times we won't want to yield to God's will because our will seems the more gratifying. But we've seen two case studies. What happens when we build that throne and say, God, let your kingdom come here. Let your kingdom come here. Because your will always have me as the focus. You'll always have the best intent for me as your will is revealed in my life. So God, I thank you that your power cannot be matched. That even though I may be in chains right now, I'm free in my heart. I'm free to praise you because they may can lock my hands up, but they can't stop my mouth. And so an offer the sacrifice of praise. Offer the sacrifice of praise because your midnight praise carries a weight your morning praise cannot. And so praise God through those tears. Praise him through the anger, through the frustration. Praise him in spite of what it looks like around you. Praise him when it seems like you're cornered and you ain't got no other options. Praise God. Let your focus go up so his power can come down. Let your focus go up so his power can come down. Let your focus go up so his power can come down. And so I want to end with a declaration. And his declaration, say it with me, I declare that praise is my pathway and worship is my ascent. I will not wait to feel God before I praise him. I will praise him until I feel him. I enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go back, go forward. I enter his gates with thanksgiving for all he has done. And I press into his courts with praise for all he is. With my mouth, I build a throne. And where my God is enthroned, my God reigns. The moment I begin to praise, heaven begins to move on my behalf. I will offer the sacrifice of praise, even at midnight, even in the valley, even before the breakthrough. And I trust that my praise ascending will bring his power descending. Every chain is loosed. Every foundation is shaken. Every enemy is scattered. The moment I lift my voice to the Most High, I am climbing out of the valley and into the presence of God, where there is abundance, joy, and pleasures forevermore. Next. This is my ascent. Hallelujah. Let the whole earth shout to the Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Let's give God a praise. Hallelujah. I need you to praise God right now in the midst of what you're going through. Let God know that you know he's all powerful. Let God know that you know that he can come through. As your praise ascends, what happens? God's power comes down. Hallelujah. Lord God, we just thank you. We praise you right now. We thank you for showing us that our praise lifts us out of the valley and into your presence. Thank you, Lord, that on this week, starting today, we're going to start praising you in advance, even before we see the breakthrough. We're going to praise you even though we may not feel like praising you. God, we're going to sing to you even when we don't feel like singing. We're going to shout loud a praise to you when we feel like keeping our mouth shut. God, we thank you that today you have reaffirmed us in our faith, that trusting you is our best option. When we feel cornered, when a diagnosis doesn't look like what we want, praising you is our best option. So God, we thank you that you're already working it out while we're trying to figure it out. So God, we're going to praise you in advance. We're going to give you what you do you, not just because of what you're done, but because of who you are. You are the Most High. So God, we thank you that you're lifting us up to spiritual places where our spiritual blessings reside. We just thank you right now, God, that even today, Lord, if we had any aches or pains, that as we praised you, as we lifted our voices to you, the power for healing has come down. We thank you, Lord, even situations that may be frustrating us right now, that as we praised you, you went ahead of us and made the crooked places straight. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we will work in tandem with you and never against you anymore. We say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you for those that have decided today that they want to walk in fellowship with you, that they want to be united in your family. They want to accept your invitation to be a son, to be a daughter of the Most High God. God, we thank you that they acknowledge that Jesus Christ has died for their sins, that he rose from the grave. Give them victory, not only in this life, but in that which is to come. And so, according to Romans 5, we will reign in life through Jesus Christ. And we thank you that you're with us to the very end. You're not like people. You don't back out when times get tough. But we thank you that you're right there with us in the thick of it. And so, God, we thank you for that relationship that we have with you. And so I want to give an invitation for anybody that needs just a prayer of agreement. You may be dealing with something, a faith fight, and you just need just agreement that God is going to work it out on your behalf. I want to touch and agree with you today. Because again, while you're trying to figure it out, God has already worked it out. Thank you, Lord.
I'll just say yes. You lead the way. I'm not afraid of what it means for me to say that this life you gave is not my own. I'm trusting you to hear my yes and lead me on.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
I pray that this message encouraged you.
Yes, Lord.
And I pray that you're blessed and refreshed in the Lord. God bless you.
I'll just say yes,
yes,
Lord.
Good word that we can take and plant it in our hearts and use it throughout the week. We thank you for Pastor Steve ministering the word. God, we ask that you lift him up, that you would strengthen him, and you would.
Hey, Pastor Steve Talbert here, and if today's message was impactful for you, and you said, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus Christ, then I want you to just pray this prayer with me, because the scripture says that if you confess with your mouth, in Romans, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you are saved. And so right now, if you don't know what to pray, then pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge you as the Lord of my life. And I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead on the third day. And because you got up, I have new life in Christ. If you prayed that prayer, then what I want you to do is I want you to reach out to our ministry at events@ylmconnect.org, and we want to send you some resources to start your discipleship journey. And Also, I want to encourage you to join us here on Sundays at 11:30 a.m. All right? And then join us for our Bible studies. And our Bible studies are on Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Right now, we're actually doing them virtually. So definitely make sure that you send us your contact information. You can DM us in our boxes there, or you can send an email to events@ylmconnect.org. And what we'll do is we'll make sure that you have the most up-to-date information on how you can connect with us. And so once again, I am so excited that you made the decision today to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then I also want to give you an opportunity, if you have any prayer needs, to actually email us again at events@ylmconnect.org. Send us your prayer request so that we can touch and agree with you for your breakthrough. And so I am Pastor Steve Talbert. On behalf of myself, my wife, Melissa Talbert, and our overseers, Dr. Willie and Dr. Mamie Talbert, and the entire Yes Lord Ministries Church family, we're so happy that you made this decision today. And we want to say to you, welcome home. God bless you.
Stay connected and grow in your faith with our mobile app. It's available in the Apple App Store and Google Play Store today. Join us for weekly services at 11:30 each Sunday morning. Our location is 225 North 8th Street in Kenilworth, New Jersey. Every Wednesday morning from 5:30 a.m. to 5:45 a.m. join us for corporate prayer. Our call-in number is 716-427-1096 and the access code is 172268#. Every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. join us for Spread the Bread Bible study as we dive into the Word of God. Partner with YLM financially using the following methods. The YLM mobile app. Text GIVE to 1-844-948-3895. Cash App $YesLordM. On GiveLify search for Yes Lord Ministries in Kenilworth, New Jersey. Our website. Visit www.ylmconnect.org and click donate. Mail checks and money orders to Yes Lord Ministries, Post Office Box 425, Union, New Jersey 07083.